Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey, all, Danielle here. A couple of quick announcements before we get into the podcast this week. First, starting pretty soon, on March 18th, we are hosting a free Get Yourself Together Bootcamp. This is a free 5-day virtual, completely virtual bootcamp that I have put together to help us with our executive function support. We are going to help you get crystal clear on your priorities, handle procrastination, inertia, fear of getting things done, and create systems and routines that work for you, not other people. So if you're interested, please go ahead to neurodiverging.com/together and sign up. It's completely free. It starts March 18th, and we do have some exciting bonuses and prizes for folks who participate. Second, I want to let you know that we are now in our early bird purchase period for Collaborative Families. If you're not familiar with it, Collaborative Families is a bigger, badder version of our old 6-week program. It is now a 3-month program. It is an evidence-based neurodiversity affirming, welcoming neurodivergent parenting class for parents of kiddos from day one all the way up to young adult. Our goal is to improve your family's relationships, communication, and trust in 3 months with a neuroscience-based curriculum. The program starts on May 1st and runs through the end of July. If you enroll before the end of March, you get $100 off as your early bird bonus. So if you're interested, please go ahead and go to neurodiverging.com/parenting. So again, those links, if you're in the car or whatever, are neurodiverging.com/parenting or neurodiverging.com/together. If you have questions, as always, please get in touch at contact@neurodiverging.com. I hope to see some of you very soon. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Neurodiverging Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again this week. We are now on part 3 of my series exploring my recent almost burnout and talking about what I did to sort of pop myself out of it relatively quickly in the hopes that the conversation will be helpful to some of you who have been dealing with similar things. So if you haven't listened to the previous 2 episodes, I would encourage you to go back and do that. But briefly, I had a health event towards the end of the summer that precipitated an almost burnout, right? Where I started to dip into what I thought was grief, ended up being the beginning of an autistic burnout. And I was thankfully and gratefully able to notice that's what was happening relatively early and take some steps to pop myself out of it relatively quickly. And so now, as of recording, it is March 2024. The event in question happened in August 2023. And so we've just passed the 6-month mark where I am not only not burnt out, but recovered from the previous almost burnout, which in my personal history is unheralded, has just never happened before. Previous burnouts have lasted years and have taken a very, very, very long time to recover. So I talked about what happened and in the first episode, and then last episode, I talk a lot about how burnout affects executive function and why I think it's important to know about that. Today, I want to talk about the actual practical, what did I do? Once I recognized that I was slipping into burnout, what are the actual strategies I employed to pull myself back up in the hopes that some of these will work for you? Before I dive into that, I do want to thank my patrons over at patreon.com/neurodiverging. You are especially close to my heart in terms of this series of podcasts, just because you were so supportive during the difficulty of last summer and fall. and winter. I couldn't be here without you. I couldn't be doing what I love to do without y'all. So I'm grateful for you and I appreciate you very much. If you listening are interested in becoming part of that amazing group, please check us out over at patreon.com/neurodiverging. You choose a monthly amount of money that you would like to give to the Neurodiverging podcast and to our low income clients. And in return, you get some really great perks like our accountability group. We have a new monthly social hour. We have a monthly parent hour. We do group coaching and discounts to upcoming courses and all sorts of things. So if you're interested, patreon.com/neurodiverging. Around the new year, 2024, I started to feel a lot better. I had given myself a huge chunk of time to rest and recover and be a lump in bed and let my brain do whatever it needed to do to start to feel better. And I did start to feel better. I wasn't like at 100% for sure, but I was able to engage with people more without getting tired. I was able to keep up on the housework better. I started feeling like I could make decisions about things like food and chores and stuff again. And I realized that it would be a good time to reset. And the way I like to reset, so it's pretty common for me to get overwhelmed with various things or to take on a big, say, a big project at work and dive into it headfirst and spend hours and hours and hours for days and weeks on end doing it. And then I sort of come out of that hyper-focused fugue state and realize that everything around me has gone to pot and we need to do a sort of reset. But the reset after a burnout is not just a physical environment reset, but also sort of an emotional and mindset reset. Mindset reset, mindset reset. That's kind of fun. And so once I started to feel better consistently, I decided to sort of do a top-down audit of where everything was and what I wanted to make changes in, and then to start thinking through, well, what are the things I can handle dealing with now and what needs to be handled later? And so the way I did this, and I took many, many notes and kind of poured all of my ideas onto paper and then split them up into categories and approached it that way. But one way that we've done this with clients in the past, which might be more successful for most people, is doing what's called the Wheel of Life exercise. And there's a bunch of the free ones online, so you can Google it. But it's basically, most of them look like a big pie chart. And each little triangular slice of pie section is a different piece of your life. So on your big circle of life, there will be your family life, your work life, your partnership or relationship, your, I don't like anything that's important to you, your garden, your sewing business, your house organization project, right? Your moving, whatever you're doing that takes up a significant amount of your energy and excitement and attention, is a slice of that pie. And then what you do is you can follow the directions on whatever sheet you do because everybody does this a little bit differently. But basically you look at just say, let's just use your work as an example. So I came back to neurodiverging after many months away and I made a chunk for neurodiverging. And I said, okay, what's going really well that we can kind of leave alone? What did we pause when I went into burnout that we might want to pick up again? What's like fallen to bits that needs immediate attention or that is urgent? What's falling to bits and it's kind of okay. It's not so much of a priority, right? And we do sort of a top-down audit of the business itself, but also my relationship to the business. Where do I feel good about it and where do I not feel good about it? Where do I want to put more energy in and where do I maybe want to take more energy out, right? So you're also kind of reassessing your boundaries with each piece of your life, right? With relationships, it might look like what's going really well with my relationship with my partner or my kids or my best friend? What's going really well? Where are some places that are not going well? Do we not have as much time to hang out as I'd like? Do we fight more? Do we disagree about like our long-term goals, right? What is not feeling good and balanced and like it's refilling my cup and my partner's cup or my kid's cup? What's feeling off? And then thinking through, okay, well, what can we do to refill our cups? Is that we add a check-in every evening? Is that more date nights? Is that more playtime? Is that support from an external person, like getting a babysitter or a counselor or a play therapist, right? So thinking through each area of your life and really auditing and not necessarily I think it's really important not to judge yourself at all in this process. So you're not saying, oh God, everything's fallen down, I suck, and making a list. You're saying, I am coming back and I am resetting, right? Sweep out the old, just look at what we have. No judgment about how we got to where we are. Just look at what we have and make a couple of decisions and do it one slice at a time. Don't try to make decisions about your relationship with your partner and your relationship with your kids and your house project and your work all at once. You will fall over and it's just too much. You'll get overwhelmed, right? But choose one slice that feels kind of urgent and put your energy there and make some decisions about it. And then give it a couple of weeks or a month or 2 months or a quarter, and then come back and tackle another area.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Right. So when I came back from burnout, that was my first job, was to assess where all my pieces of life were, how I felt about them, and what needed immediate attention versus what needed attention eventually, but not right now. So performing either doing the wheel of life exercise or doing some kind of audit, right, of where life is, was a really big, important first step. And the reason I do this, I don't know that I always used to do this. I mean, I've always been kind of a top-down cognitive style thinker. But the reason I started doing this is because I am the kind of person who gets really excited about projects and forgets all about the other priorities I have. And so I have found that doing an occasional audit allows me to still be excited about things that pop up that I want to do. Like this executive function challenge we're doing was, I thought, oh, it would be cool to do a 5-day challenge in like the beginning of January. And then I pulled the Patreon and I was like, oh, I'll do it in February. And then I started it and I was like, whoa, challenges are complicated. You can't just like do one. And so now we're doing it in March. And that was a thought that seemed exciting that I just grabbed on and did. It was not the original plan for my first quarter of business, right? But I want to leave myself space. But as somebody who kind of runs on that enthusiastic, just wanting to go sometimes, I also know that I need to have other stuff organized so that when I run, chase those rabbits, right? That nothing else is going to fall over, or at least it doesn't fall over completely. It falls over a little bit and we can rebuild it, right? So having some kind of audit in place, whether you do it yourself, you do it with a coach, you do it with a friend, you do it with your therapist, having something in place where you can kind of check in and say, what is my goal and what's working, what's not working, and what are my plans to fix it? Even if I'm not doing that this month or next month, if I'm not touching it till October, right? It stops you from kind of obsessing over all the things that you have to do because you've already made decisions about them. You're already been like, no, I'm not touching that till October. I don't have to worry about it till October. And every time it pops up, you can kind of reassess, well, do I have to touch it before October? No, I don't. So I'm just going to leave it. And it really helps that sort of anxiety driven thing that can happen after burnout, where it just feels like so much has piled up. You're not going to be able to handle it all right away. So just like agree with yourself that you're not going to deal with it all right away and agree what you are going to deal with first. I talked about this in the first episode on burnout, but that in my experience personally, and then with a lot of clients I've seen, the thing that tips us into burnout, even if it's been building for a long time, is some kind of big life disruption. You get fired from work, or you're forced to leave your job. You have a huge health change or diagnosis. There's a loss, like a miscarriage or a death, or you break up with a partner, right? Something happens that is an instigating event. That instigating event causes you to have to rethink and re-envision your whole life forward, right? So in my example, I thought I was going to have a baby. And I had spent significant time and energy and excitement envisioning my life with that baby, right? And then when the baby died, there was no baby. And I had to rethink my whole life. So performing the audit for me was also like a reset of that expectation, right? I had an expectation. It did not come to pass through no fault of my own or anyone else's. Now we are going to reset. What are our new expectations? Now, also this sort of by chance happened in the beginning of the year when everybody's doing New Year goals anyway, New Year resolutions, which I don't find super effective as a coach, but if they work for you, you should do them. They have never worked for me. But in this one case, they worked for me because of the timing, because I happened to do the emotional recovery sort of in time for New Year's resolutions. And so the reset was kind of like, okay, I need to reset my expectations for what this year can bring me, right? What is likely to occur in this year versus what is not likely to occur? And what can I offer myself around reasonable expectations for this year? Always leave room for fantastic surprises in your expectations. But also, you know, you got to plan for the basics. Do you have enough money to survive? Can you pay the mortgage? Can you get food? You know, are your kids getting the education they need? Can you pay for your cat's vet bills, right? So knowing what you need and planning for them by virtue of thinking through your expectations for yourself can be really valuable, and also stops you from like, a lot of us, and I was talking about that ADHD spontaneity a minute ago, a lot of us like just jump after rabbits, and some of those rabbits bring us to amazing new places, and sometimes they distract us so much that we forget that we need to pay our mortgage. And so having the stuff that is like non-negotiable set up and in a structure somewhere that I don't have to touch that often leaves me the time I need to chase rabbits, but doesn't allow the rabbits to run away with something really important, right? So I can run and do this random 5-day challenge because I felt like it and it seemed exciting and I wanted to support my patrons. But I know also that if I sink, you know, 2 weeks of work into this, nothing important is going to fall over. I will still be able to eat and feed my family and have clean clothes and the other basics of life, right? So that's another thing that the audit can really support. And one of the reasons I personally do it with most clients, like in the first couple sessions of coaching. It depends exactly what they're in there for, but if they're just kind of like, I'm overwhelmed and everything's hard, audit. Just know where you are so you can make decisions about where you are. So when I did my audit, here's what I realized. My relationship's pretty good. We homeschool, so I'm sort of a leg up with spending a lot of time with my kids. And when I wasn't working, I was able to hang out with them a lot and we filled our cups. And same thing with my partners, that we were in pretty good shape considering everything. And that was fine. I have some work to do in reestablishing friendships. I'm still working on that. I'm still feeling a little stuck when it comes to wanting to expend the energy there. And I'm still working around some of my resistance around that, right? But I know it's an issue and I'm not like ignoring it. I'm practicing, right? As I said in the last episode, I'm practicing how to be a friend again. One of the things that had gone to pot that is very practical to the point of almost boring is my house was a disaster because we'd gone through several holidays. We went through Halloween, so there were still Halloween costumes out. We went through Thanksgiving, which we don't really do much for. And we went through Christmas, so there was still like Christmas present wrapping trash around and gifts that hadn't been put away and gifts that need to be returned and like all sorts of stuff, right? Just stuff. Also, one of my partners has a almost 3-year-old, and this is the age where they are just like exploring with gravity, throwing stuff around. And that particular partner is not, and I say this with love, not the best at picking up after themselves, right? Just very scattered, trying to do a lot of things all the time. And so my 2 kids, plus the toddler, preschooler, plus, you know, everything else, the house had gone to pot. I spent many weeks kind of staring at it and being annoyed about it, but not really having the energy to do anything about it. And this is again where your self-care comes in and your, how do you talk to yourself, right? You can sit there and say, I suck. I should be able to pick up after myself. I should be able to clean this house. Or you can say, I suck. I should have taught my kids how to do their chores or help them be more responsible or whatever. My kids do their chores. So that's not even a, like a rational thing, but we blame ourselves, right? We've been taught to blame ourselves stuff. And what you have to do instead is reframe that and say, you know, I just got through a hugely traumatic experience. My brain is not going to be the same for a little while. My kids are kids. They have the skills that I have modeled. And so how can I move forward modeling the skills I want them to learn? And also kind of giving myself an environment that feels good to be in, right? Because the job of the house for me is not to be clean and shiny and like a magazine. It's to be a place that I feel safe and happy and comfortable in. I kind of spent a couple of weeks thinking about all the things I was going to do. Because for me, the envisioning stage is really important. So I was thinking to myself, oh, I could move that piece of furniture there and then that space would be better. Oh, I could get rid of that stuff. Oh, if I washed that, I could donate it or sell it. And people, you know, there's an interest in it. So I did all this pre-processing work where I was just sort of assessing things and almost pre-making decisions, right? Before I actually did anything about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then my son wanted to invite his friend over. And his friend had never been here before. And the mom was going to come to hang out, right? Just to like make sure we're not crazy people, which I support. And I was like, oh, this is an opportunity. I mean, the house was safe, right? Like the kid would have been fine. It was a safe place. But it was extremely cluttered. And also just dirty, like legitimately dirty. Like I have two cats. I have, there's three people in this house with hair as long or longer than mine. There was a lot of like hairballs and fur and just dirt. And the baby drops food on the floor. The cats drop food on the floor. Like there was stuff, like it was gross. Okay. So I was like, ooh, an adult is coming over. This is an opportunity to like reset the house so I can feel good when they show up. And so literally the day before they were coming over, I told my kids and my partner about my goals and sort of created some accountability for myself and also got permission from especially my kids to like go into their rooms and put stuff away and to move some stuff in the main areas that they have attachments to. And I just said to them, you know, I'm not going to take this away. I need to clean it. Like it's too much. It's too gross. I need to clean it. And so it's going to look a little different when you get home. So I reset expectations for them around like, you know, and nobody put up any fights about it. Or if they did, they were really little. And then once they realized that I was like, I know I'm washing this. I'm sorry. It's too disgusting. It has too much food on it. They sort of backed off. So the day before that person came over for the first time, I dropped my kids off at their day program. And I had committed to spending as much time as I reasonably could without getting way too exhausted doing things. So I made myself a good breakfast. I had my coffee. I put on YouTube or an audiobook or something. And I just started at one corner and I followed the corner around and I got as far around the main area of the house as I could before I had to go pick up the kids. So I had less than 5 hours because their program is 5 hours long, but then I, you know, took a break for lunch and to water myself and stuff throughout the time. And I took time to play with the cats, but I threw as much trash away as I could. I reorganized things when it was reasonable to do so. I made big donation pile bags and put them in the middle of the room. And then when my partner came home the next day, because this is a big problem for me, is I can make donation bags, but I do not want to go talk to the people at the donating place, even though they're super nice, because I just feel it's just one of my things. I don't want to talk to strangers if I don't have to. My partner agreed, and I set up with him ahead of time hey, if I do this piece, can you do this piece? And so when he came home, there were a bunch of bags sitting waiting for him, and he had made arrangements to go donate them that same night. So they were out of the house immediately. I did not touch any of my kids' things in terms of donating. I just went around and I picked up everything and I put it wherever it went, or I made a new home for it. And I only got, I would say, about maybe half to two thirds away around the bottom, the main floor of our house in that 4 hours. But I threw away like three bags of trash and I donated about four bags of things. And we had many, many, many boxes that I broke down and brought out to the recycling. And it was fantastic. It was great. And then when the people came over the next day, I felt okay about the house, because even though it was not perfect by any means, like there's still chunks of it that have clutter everywhere, but it felt better. It felt lighter. It felt usable. And so just like giving yourself the opportunity to reset. And it took one day. Have I touched the house since then? No. Is there stuff that I could probably like do in the last third? Yeah. And probably I'll eventually get there, but it's just not a priority right now, because the priority was really the emotion, the feeling. How do I want to feel when the people come over, right? And what can I do to achieve that feeling? And for me, doing half or two thirds or whatever of the house achieved that feeling. And I feel fine about the house now. And like, yeah, eventually I would like to get that last third done, but I have other things that are more of a priority right now. So here's the takeaway, as far as I am aware of this episode. There is a passive piece of burnout recovery and an active piece of burnout recovery. The passive piece is letting your brain rest and recover from the trauma it's undergone. And then the active piece is the second phase, and that is reset. And reset means not just, I'm going to fix my house, I'm going to start cooking again, I'm going to start doing the tasks on my list, but also is a mindset piece of, how am I going to care for myself so that the burnout doesn't reoccur? How am I going to face problems head on and not get overwhelmed by them? How am I going to make decisions about my life that support me and my well-being as best as I can in my living situation, and not shame myself when stuff doesn't work out? The mindset piece is just as important as the physical activities you are doing to feel better. That growth perspective and that I am learning piece is almost more important than, you know, you cleaning the house or you going on more dates with your partner or you feeding yourself better. Like, all those things are important, right? Please eat, please go to sleep, please take your meds, like do all the base stuff. But equally important is the mindset. And I know that there's a pushback from certain kinds of folks who find mindset work to be sort of non-rational or non-logical. And first of all, it's a research-backed thing. So if it feels irrational, you might be stuck in kind of the mind-body Cartesian dualism, and that's from 300 years ago. So that's not rational either. And then the other thing is, the way that your body responds to your mind is well-documented. The way that you choose to interpret what you see in your environment and the way that you choose to interpret your behavior and your thoughts affects your physical body's well-being. And we have so much science to back that up from so many disciplines, right? So your mindset and how you think about your recovery, you're embracing an element of curiosity, of growth, and of availability to what comes, is going to greatly affect your physical feelings of wellness. It's going to affect your sleep, how you speak, how you think, how you interact with other people, right? And so the reset is a sort of cognitive way to approach a very emotionally driven recovery. That the point of burnout recovery needs to be to make yourself feel better, not just think better and perform better and do better, but to feel better. What causes burnout in the first place for most of us, right, are external traumas catalyzed by a big, overwhelming feeling, which is caused from a life event, right? So to say that more briefly, I had a miscarriage, and the grief of the miscarriage pushed me over the edge and into burnout. The physical manifestations were not comfortable, but I could have gone through them and not hit burnout. And I have gone through similar things before and not hit burnout. What does it is the feeling.
The emotions. That means that to get out of burnout, we can't just be really cognitive about it. We can't be 100% strategic about it. We have to be looking at our feelings. What can we do?
Feel better.
Paying attention to your feelings and what will make you feel better and safer and stronger is what's going to actually end your burnout faster. I just want to again thank my patrons at patreon.com/neurodivergent for supporting my efforts in doing this and for making me get through this burnout a little easier and a little faster because of your community support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, please come join us at patreon.com/neurodivergent. I told you all about the perks already. Also, just a reminder that we offer coaching. So if you are somebody who has recently experienced burnout, or you are resetting your life, or anything else is going on, and you would like support from a neurodivergent and neurodivergent affirming coach, we have some fantastic folks on staff, and I am also available for new clients right now as well. So you can go to neurodiverging.com and click on coaching, and we would be happy to offer you the free discovery call and see if we're a good fit for you. And if we're not, we'll try to get you some other resources. Thanks so much for being here with me today. And please remember, we are all in this together. Take care.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.